If surgery is going to save my life, then I'm going to be grateful for it. But I will avoid it if I can, won't you? Give me the non-invasive. And if I can't get the non-invasive, give me the minimally invasive. I want to suggest to you that by nature, we think the same way about faith.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, that might be the first time that I've ever heard faith in Christ related to a medical procedure. But I think that is a clear picture. It helps us understand that a saving faith in Jesus is an invasive thing. If we're really going to be saved by Christ, then we got to be all in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We began last time on the program looking at this marvelous promise of Jesus, I will not leave you as orphans, and how if Jesus had not risen from the dead, the disciples would have had his teaching, they would have had his example. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a version of Christianity that's just about making a massive effort to follow the teaching and example of Jesus. And we're saying that is not the Christian faith.
Well, Jesus, that's not too different than many other religions then. It's just a different teacher.
That's exactly right. And here is the difference with our Lord Jesus, that he says, I will come to you. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that's where the invasive bit comes in, because the Holy Spirit, the life of God himself, actually coming in to the life of a Christian believer. So I just want to say to everyone listening, if you have the idea that Christianity is simply about you making a great effort to follow the example of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus, it is so much more. It is so much better. It is the life of God coming into you by the Holy Spirit. And that is transforming.
Well, that's what we're going to be looking at in today's broadcast. So join us in John chapter 14 as we continue the message, Jesus will remain with you. Here is Pastor Colin.
A faith that draws inspiration from Jesus, that latches onto his teaching and commends its principles, but does not depend on him actually being there. And I call that orphan faith. And folks, I have to tell you, it's important to understand this, that orphan faith has massive appeal and is widely subscribed to in our culture. It is basically a personalized faith, custom built from selected words and actions of Jesus that seem meaningful to the individual today. You sort of take what you find helpful from words that Jesus said here and there, and you adopt it into your life. Orphan faith does not need a living Christ. Orphan faith brings a man or a woman under no obligation to a living Christ. That's why it's so popular, you see. And our culture is full of this kind of faith. If you could have just a good job, a good wife or husband, a couple of good kids, a nice car, long weekends, a few good friends, a fun retirement, a quick and easy death, and no hell, would you be satisfied? Would you settle for that? You see, there are folks all over our country with an orphan kind of faith who'd say, that's fine, that's everything I want right there. But not the disciples. Disciples of Jesus, when he's about to be taken from them, they're not looking at each other and saying, well, Jesus is gone now, but at least we've got each other. They're not saying, Jesus is gone now, but hey, we can still have ministry and change the world. They're not saying, hey, Jesus is gone now, but we can still have a good and a prosperous life. No, there is only one thing that will satisfy these men. And that is the presence of Christ with them. And Jesus says to them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. Notice he doesn't say you will not be orphans. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. This is the promise of the resurrection. You see what Jesus is saying? I'm going to die. You will go through this orphan experience, but it will not end there. I will not leave you there. You won't spend the rest of your life armed only with my teaching and with my example. I will rise from the dead. I will come to you. And this is the heart of true Christianity. It is so different from the orphan faith. The great promise of the gospel, folks, is Jesus Christ himself. I will come to you. Christ being taken from them was what was making them orphans. Only Christ returning to them was able to restore what was being lost. So Jesus doesn't say, look, I'm going to be taken from you, but it's okay, you've still got forgiveness, you've still got heaven. No, he doesn't say that, because no number of gifts could replace the presence of Jesus in their lives. This is the promise, I will come to you. And if Christ is with you, then you have every spiritual blessing in him. If you do not have Christ, then no blessing that you have in your life will be of ultimate or eternal value. Now, that takes us to a very important question. Jesus promises the supreme gift of his presence. And the question, I think, for us then is, how do we know the presence of Jesus in our lives? In what way, when he says, I will come to you, in what way is he with us? How does Jesus actually come to us? Jesus said to the disciples, I will come to you. And obviously he fulfilled that at Easter. But then after Easter, he returned to the Father in heaven. And so now the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ is communicated to us by the Holy Spirit. And that is why it's so important that the promise of the resurrection in verse 18 is linked to the promise of the Holy Spirit that is given to us in verse 16. Look at what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He says, I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Another counselor. See, the disciples had Jesus as their counselor already. And when Jesus says another counselor, what he's saying is that the Father will give one who will be to the disciples all that Jesus has been to them, and will do for the disciples all that Jesus has done for them. And then he tells us right here in this verse who this other counselor is. He is the Spirit of Truth. That is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And Jesus says, he will be with you forever. Now, I want you to notice one more thing here. In verse 23, if you look down there, that having spoken about the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus then adds this. He says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we, that is the Father and the Son, will come to him and make our home with him. So having given the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is now explaining exactly what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he brings the presence of God, the presence of the Father and the Son, to be with you and in you by the Holy Spirit. This is how Jesus Christ is with us. The Bible talks on a number of occasions about Christ living in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. But wait a minute, Christ is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So how can Christ be in you? The answer is that Jesus Christ is truly in you by the presence of his Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit of God. So here is this wonderful truth that Jesus gives us as the great promise of his presence. The Lord Jesus Christ ascends to the right hand of the Father in heaven, but he is present with all his people by the Holy Spirit. I'll come to you, he says, through the resurrection, but I will remain with you forever. How? By the Holy Spirit. So, folks, the promise of Jesus about the resurrection and the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ about the Holy Spirit is central to authentic Christianity. No true Christianity without them. And, you know, there are many folks who have been in church for years, and they're familiar with the creed. And they believe that Jesus was God, and that he was man, and that he died, and that he rose. But somehow this belief always remains outside of them. it never actually changes them. Do you know what I mean? They have what I'm going to call a non-invasive faith. Let me just explain what I mean by that to you. Suppose you go to the doctor. And suppose the doctor diagnoses in you some serious condition. And the doctor says to you, well, now you're going to need treatment. And there are two ways we can go here. The first, he says to you, is surgery. But then he says there's an alternative treatment that we can offer here. And he says it is non-invasive. Now, I'll tell you, if I'm listening to the doctor right now, I'm really listening up to the second option, aren't you? Absolutely. I don't know about you, but the idea to me of someone knocking me out cold and then taking a scalpel in his hand, and I hardly know the man, and he's cutting me open to do surgery on me. Boy, if surgery is going to save my life, then I'm going to be grateful for it. But I will avoid it if I can, won't you? Give me the non-invasive. And if I can't get the non-invasive, give me the minimally invasive. Now, folks, I want to suggest to you that by nature, we think the same way about faith. Just as many people are drawn to orphan faith that takes inspiration from the example of Jesus but doesn't actually depend on him being there, because it brings no obligation to Christ nor any dependence upon Christ, there are many who opt for a minimally invasive or non-invasive faith. They agree that Jesus rose from the dead. They recite the creed, but somehow this faith remains outside of them. And if an orphan faith is a faith that draws inspiration from Jesus but does not depend on him actually being there, a non-invasive faith is a faith that affirms the truth about Jesus but does not cut into the very fiber of everyday life. And there are thousands of people who live with that kind of faith. A faith that affirms the truth about Jesus but it does not cut into the fiber of your everyday life. It is non-invasive. It's external to you. It's just something that I believe. It's out there. Now, if you recognize that at all, I draw your attention to verse 17 and the words that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit here, because they are quite extraordinary. He says to the disciples, you know him. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. For he lives with you and will be in you. Folks, that is invasive in the extreme, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, he won't just come and visit you. He'll live with you. He'll set up home in your life. And not only will he live with you, Jesus says he will be in you. You can't get more invasive than that. You really can't. Jesus is saying he will make his home with us in our lives. Until the day we'll look at, God willing, next week when we make our home with him. What does a non-invasive faith do for you, really? You say that you believe that Jesus is God and man, that he died and that he rose again, but it never really makes a transforming difference in your life. You say you believe these things. The devil knows these things. The Bible says so. What comfort is a non-invasive faith to you in your suffering? What strength is a non-invasive faith to you to face the world today? Listen to what Jesus says. Here's Christianity. I will come to you. We will make our home with you. The Holy Spirit will be with you and in you. That is authentic Christianity. And then Jesus says, verse 19, because I live, you will live also. So remember this, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ gives himself to us, present tense, by the Holy Spirit.
Really an encouraging look today at the Holy Spirit as we continue the message, Jesus will remain with you. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and our message is part of a larger series called Rock Solid. We're looking at seven promises Christ makes to the believer. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Remember this, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ gives himself to us, present tense, by the Holy Spirit. And we participate in all that he has accomplished and in everything that he is for us. We have his presence by the Holy Spirit, who Jesus says will be with you and will be in you. Folks, do you see what a marvelous gift this is? You know, sometimes folks say, have you heard this said? Folks have said this many times to me. You know, if only I could actually just see Jesus. If only he was here, you know, and I could just talk to him in the flesh and how marvelous that would be and so forth. Well, imagine what that would be, really. If the Lord Jesus was still in the flesh in this world, if he was in Jerusalem, how many $1,000s would it take you to go? Do you have that money? How many times could you go? How many Christians would never be able to go there? And let's suppose just for a moment that he located himself right here in Arlington Heights. Can you imagine that? I mean, with a third of the world's population in some way claiming faith in Jesus Christ, they're going to have to multiply the size of O'Hare Airport. And you're going to have to stand in line, not for hours, but for days and weeks and maybe months to get one moment with Jesus Christ. And then 99.999% of the rest of your life is going to be lived without the presence of Jesus. So Jesus says, it's to your advantage, I'm going to the Father. And I will give you the Spirit. And he will live with you and be in you forever. Forever. So these are amazing promises, folks, that are the very center of the good news of Jesus Christ. The promise of the resurrection and the promise of the Holy Spirit. And these promises are for us. Let me make these three applications in these last moments. Let's try and take into our minds and our hearts, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then these things are true of you. Christ is with you and in you by the Holy Spirit. And that means, friend, that you are never, never, never alone. There is no greater truth for you than this when you experience loneliness. When you feel that you are alone as a believer in a crowd of folks who are antagonistic, Jesus does not say, I will visit you from time to time. Jesus says, I will make my home with you, and Christ will be at home with you until you are at home with him. Christ is with you and in you by the Holy Spirit. That means that you are never, never, never alone. He lives in you. Second great application, Christ is with you and in you by his Holy Spirit. And that is the greatest incentive imaginable for you and for me to pursue a holy life. You know, on one occasion, Paul was needing to correct some folks in a church in Corinth who had opened the door to flagrant sin. They had really indulged themselves in sexual immorality. And this is what Paul said. This is how he applied the truth to seek to bring them back. He said, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, honor God with your body. You think about this. Everywhere you go, every day that you live, the presence of Christ is with you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. Therefore, honor God with your body. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Could you imagine a greater incentive to pursue a life of obedience? You see how obedience comes up again and again in what Jesus is saying to the disciples? Because it's intimately connected with this marvelous gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promises to them and to you and to me. And here's a third application. It's simply this. Jesus Christ is with you and he is in you by the Holy Spirit, what that means is that you have strength for today. You really do. There is no greater truth that you need when you feel absolutely washed out and exhausted, when you feel your strength is gone. Listen, Christ is with you. Christ is in you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He says the Father and the Son will make their home with you by the Holy Spirit. There's a beautiful ancient prayer. Some of you will know this one. It goes all the way back to about the year 400. And this is really old. Back to St. Patrick and the days when he took the gospel to Ireland. And it's called St. Patrick's Breastplate. And these are the words of his prayer. It begins with the line, I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. And then in the refrain, Patrick says this, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all who love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. Boy, you could face life if that's true of you. To bind Christ to you in every way, in everything that you face. So friends, why would you not give up orphan faith today? Why would you not give up and move beyond non-invasive faith today? What does that hold for you? Come to Christ crucified. Come to Christ risen. Christ who gives the Spirit to be with you and in you forever.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message entitled, Jesus Will Remain With You. And what a great challenge and reminder from Pastor Colin today, that if we know Christ, we don't have an orphan faith, we don't have a non-invasive faith, but maybe as you've been listening to today's message, you've been realizing that that's kind of what your faith looks like. Maybe you're not sure that you have authentic Christian faith, and you'd like to talk with one of our staff members about that, to know for sure that you have a relationship with Jesus. I hope you'll contact us here at Open the Bible. You can call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you two copies of Pastor Colin's newly illustrated book called Christmas Stories. One for you, one to give away. And Colin, what is Christmas Stories and who's the book for?
Well, it's for the whole family. Christmas Stories, it really tells the story of the birth of Christ from the perspective of various people who were involved in the event at the time. Over the years, I told the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary and Joseph and Simeon and even King Herod. And these stories have been brought together by our partners at 10 of Those Publishing, and they have been beautifully illustrated. So we have now a Christmas story book that's intended to be read aloud, and it's for all the family. So for you and for your loved ones, here's a way to have something fresh in regards to Christmas. Tell the Christmas story, read it out loud with those who you love. Christmas Stories, I'm delighted to be able to commend it this month.
Well, we want to send you not just one, but two copies of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. One for you and your family, one to give away. You can find out more when you visit our website, openthebible.org, or call and give your gift of support at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. And again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
A single conversation can change your life, and that happened to me at a conference many years ago. Over lunch, I sat next to a pioneer missionary. He told me the story of how he'd made contact with an unreached tribal group in northern Thailand, how the tribal chief had invited him to make his home there, how he built his own home, and then learned the tribal language and began to serve these people. It was jaw-dropping stuff. At one point in the conversation, I asked him, "Where do you begin in explaining the gospel to people who don't even know who God is?" And he said, "We tell them the Bible story." Now, I'm convinced that we need to learn from the approach of pioneer missionaries in reaching lost people today. And that's why I wrote Fly Through the Bible. Fly Through the Bible is short, simple, and shareable. It's a place where someone in your life can begin. So who is there in your life who needs to know the God of the Bible and might be willing to open the Bible with you if you ask them? For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.